All right. Let's dive into something fun today.
Okay.
Let's dive into Renoir's Luncheon at the Boating Party. You've
Yeah.
probably seen this iconic impressionist work, but today we're going beyond those surface impressions, and we're going to uncover the fascinating stories that are woven into this
Yeah,
masterpiece.
and you know what's so captivating about it is that it's more than just an aesthetically pleasing scene, right? It's like this glimpse into a very specific time and place, Parisian society in the 1880s. Renoir is really masterful at capturing not just a moment, but like an entire culture in this canvas.
Right. Okay. So imagine 1881, and you find yourself at Maison Fournet's, this charming restaurant perched on the banks of the Seine.
Okay.
You step out onto this balcony,
Yeah.
sunlight washes over you, and right there before your eyes, this lively gathering,
Oh.
buzzing with conversation.
Yeah, and the atmosphere is so palpable. You get this immediate sense of like relaxed merriment, this kind of like carefree summer afternoon spent amongst friends. He doesn't just depict it, he makes you feel like you're a part of it.
Yes, exactly. And speaking of friends, Renoir has gathered quite the intriguing mix of characters for this luncheon.
He really has. It's almost like a who's who of Parisian society at the time. We see artists, we
Yeah.
see art enthusiasts, actors, journalists, even a baron. Each figure, carefully placed within the composition, contributes to this overall story that he's trying to tell about his world.
It's like he's inviting us to eavesdrop on the conversations,
Yeah.
to unravel the relationships, to imagine the dynamics between these fascinating individuals. Where do we even begin to unravel this web?
Okay, well, let's start with the heart of it all, shall we? In the foreground, we see this woman with a captivating gaze, adorable little dog nestled beside her. That is Aline Charigot, who would later become Renoir's wife.
Oh, so he included his future wife in this iconic painting.
Yeah.
It adds a whole other layer to it, doesn't it? It's like a subtle love letter
Yeah.
tucked into this bustling scene.
Exactly. And it speaks to how he infused like these personal touches throughout this painting. And if we shift our gaze just slightly to the right, we find another key figure, the artist Gustave Caibaut, close friend of Renoir, prominent figure in the Impressionist movement.
Yeah, he's sporting that straw boater,
Yeah.
leaning back. I imagine he was a man of discerning taste and lively conversation.
Indeed. And given their shared passion for art, you can only imagine like the stimulating discussions that must unfolded between Renoir and Caibaut, both at this luncheon and beyond. As we continue to circle the table, we encounter even more fascinating figures. Take, for instance, Charles Frusci, a prominent art collector and critic engaged in what appears to be a rather captivating conversation.
Yeah.
Next to him, we see the actress Ellen André, seemingly lost in thought as she sips her drink.
So many prominent figures in one place. It really highlights just like the vibrant cultural scene of Paris at the time. But I'm curious about the people in the background. Are they just random figures? Or do they play a role in this story that Renoir is crafting? They got to be more than just background figures. Like
Right.
Renoir wouldn't include them if they didn't like contribute to the overall story.
You're absolutely right. Renoir was very meticulous in his compositions, and even those seemingly on the periphery add a lot of depth to the narrative. For instance, notice that young woman leaning against the railing on the left. That's Louise Alphonsine Fournays, the daughter of the restaurant owner.
Oh, so she's practically part of the furniture. I bet she had a front row seat to all the comings and goings at Maison Fournet's. What a treasure trove of stories she must have had.
Indeed. And then beside her, we see her brother, Alphonse Fournier Jr., who, as you might imagine, managed the boat rentals for the restaurant.
Right, because it all ties back to the river, the boater hats, the relaxed air, even the name of the painting itself. Renoir masterfully uses these subtle details to kind of like weave together this complete sensory experience. You can practically feel the rocking of the boats, hear the water lapping against the banks.
Exactly. But let's maybe shift gears for a moment. And talk about Renoir's artistic influences, because it might surprise you to learn that he actually drew inspiration for this masterpiece from a Renaissance master.
Really, now that's fascinating. From 16th century Venice to 19th century Paris, what bridges those two worlds?
Well, the bridge in this case is the work of Paolo Veronese, specifically his painting The Wedding Feast at Cana. Both paintings depict like this grand gathering, a celebration of life, abundance, but more importantly, Renoir borrows a brilliant compositional technique from Veronese. Notice how both artists use a strong diagonal line to lead the viewer's eye through the scene. In Veronese's painting, it's the banquet table, and in Renoir's, it's the railing of the balcony.
Oh, that's so clever. By using that diagonal element, they create this like sense of depth and movement. So you're not just observing the luncheon, but you're almost invited to participate in it.
Exactly. And it speaks to Renoir's like deep understanding of composition
yeah.
and his ability to learn from the masters who came before him.
Yeah.
But speaking of masters, how did the art critics of Renoir's time react to this masterpiece when it was first exhibited? Were they as enamored as we are today?
That's a great question. I imagine a painting this revolutionary might have ruffled a few feathers in the art world.
You're not wrong. When Luncheon of the Boating Party was first exhibited at the 7th Impressionist Exhibition in 1882, it was met with a mix of praise and skepticism, as is often the case with groundbreaking art.
So what were people saying?
Well, many critics were captivated by its freshness, the vibrant colors, and Renoir's ability to capture the essence of modern Parisian life. They praised his mastery of light and shadow, which is a hallmark of Impressionism.
So they were charmed by the painting's beauty and vibrancy, much like we are today.
For the most part, yes. However, there were a few dissenting voices. One critic in particular, Albert Wolff, couldn't resist adding a little backhanded compliment to his review.
Oh, I do love a good backhanded compliment. Do tell. What did Mr. Wolff have to say?
He wrote, "If he had learned to draw, Renoir would have a very pretty picture."
Ouch, that's harsh. I suppose some critics found the loose brushstrokes and that emphasis on capturing a fleeting moment maybe a little too avant-garde for their taste.
Precisely. They were accustomed to the more traditional academic style of painting, but isn't it fascinating how what was once considered radical or even scandalous can become celebrated and adored by later generations?
Absolutely. Luncheon of the Boating Party is a perfect example of that. It's now considered one of Renoir's most iconic works, a cornerstone of Impressionism.
It certainly is. And speaking of its legacy, did you know that this painting has even captured the imaginations of Hollywood legend?
Oh, do tell. I'm ready for a good Hollywood story.
Well, legend has it that the actor Edward G. Robinson was so captivated by this painting that he would spend hours at the Phillips Collection in Washington, D.C., just staring at it, even allegedly concocting plans to steal it.
Wow, now that's dedication. I have a feeling his heist plans were probably more for show than anything else.
Most likely, but it just goes to show the power that this painting has to captivate and inspire. And it's not just Hollywood legends who have fallen under its spell. Luncheon of the Boating Party has permeated popular culture in fascinating ways, appearing in films like Amélie, even inspiring novels and comic books.
It's incredible how a single work of art can transcend like the confines of a museum and become woven into the fabric of our collective imagination.
Yeah, it speaks to its enduring appeal, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely.
But what's truly remarkable is how Luncheon of the Boating Party resonates with us on this deeper level. It's not just a beautiful image, but it's this portal to a different time and place.
It evokes such a powerful emotional response. It's like you can almost step into the scene yourself, feel the warmth of the sun on your skin, hear the clinking of glasses, the murmur of conversation.
Exactly. And that's what elevates this painting from being merely technically brilliant to truly unforgettable. Renoir captures not just a moment, but a feeling, the joy of good company, the simple pleasures of a summer afternoon, the beauty of everyday life.
You know, we've talked about the light, the composition, the characters, but there's something almost magical about how Renoir captures the fleeting nature of time in this painting.
It's true. The way the sunlight filters through the trees, the relaxed postures of the figures, the half-empty glasses on the table, it all creates the sense of a moment captured in time, a memory frozen forever.
And that's what makes it so relatable and enduring. It reminds us that sometimes.
Yeah.
The most extraordinary moments are found in the ordinary.
Beautifully put. And as we delve deeper into Renoir's masterpiece, I'm curious to know, what speaks to you most about this painting now? That we've kind of peeled back the layers, if you could step into that scene, what would draw you in?
Oh, gosh. It's almost an embarrassment of riches. You know, like the longer you look, the more you discover in this painting. But if I had to pick just one detail, I think I'd be most drawn to the expressions on everyone's faces. They're so animated, so full of life. It makes me want to know what they're thinking, what they're saying to each other.
Yeah. It's like Renoir has given us this glimpse into the secret lives of these individuals, even if it's just for this like fleeting moment. And I think that's part of what makes this painting so enduringly appealing. It sparks our imaginations.
Right.
It invites us to kind of create our own narratives within the world that he's created.
Right.
It's true. I found myself wondering, like, who are these people beyond this single brushstroke in time? What are their stories, their passions, their dreams?
Precisely. And it's by inviting us to ponder these questions, I think, that Renoir elevates this from a simple luncheon to this reflection on like the human experience itself, you know? We see ourselves reflected in their laughter, their camaraderie, their simple enjoyment of like life's pleasures.
It's a timeless scene, like a celebration of connection and the beauty of just these everyday moments. It's a reminder that sometimes the most extraordinary experiences are found in the ordinary, in the sharing of food, laughter, and good company.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think we've all earned ourselves a little mental escape to that sun-drenched balcony on the Seine.
I'll raise a virtual glass to that, to Renoir, to art, to the power of a single moment to transcend time and connect us all. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep diving deep into the stories behind the art that moves you.